In Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, into your presence we have come once again this morning. Lord, to be touched by you and to be blessed by you. Everyone who has come into this auditorium this morning, I pronounce your blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, let your word wash us. Let your word build us up. Let your word bless us today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, there is no going home empty-handed. Therefore, Lord Jesus, everyone who has come, you will not go home empty-handed in Jesus' name. Father, I prepare the hearts of everybody who is in church this morning. Your hearts are fertile grounds for the word. The words will take root and they will bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. You will not hear and forget. You will hear and be doers in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are continuing our series on evangelism. You agree with me that for 6 weeks now, we have been looking at the different approaches to evangelism. And I remember telling us at the beginning that we cannot use one to the exclusion of the other per se. Although you may have a particular approach that seems to be predominant at a particular point in time. Also, there are individuals who are particularly geared or conversant or used to a particular method. I want to believe that all of us are capable of using these different methods of evangelism that we have looked at. Today, we are going to be looking at evangelism through rendering services to others. Evangelism through rendering services. Of course, it is a method of evangelism. That's why we are looking at it. In the past, we've gone through testimony, interpersonal relationships, invitations, confrontation, and intellectual approaches. Again, like I said at the beginning of this series, whichever method we use, we must see that, or we must realize that that method is basically to facilitate our ability to share the word of God with somebody. So it's not an excuse to say, look, I'm using my relationship to evangelize this person without talking about God to them. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So we have to talk about God. We have to talk about God. It does not matter what method we use, we still need to talk about God. He says, but how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed, in whom they have no faith, or on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him, that is, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon him, of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? So somebody needs to speak the word. Don't say you are too nice to them and not speak the word of God to the person. you have to speak the word. In using our service to evangelize, this service can be rendered to individuals, to communities, to nations, and in particular, the Church of God. I've had people give testimony here that the reason they started doing what they were doing is because they saw somebody else who was very dedicated. I've had somebody say the reason he went to learn a particular instrument he's playing is because he saw somebody who was very, very busy with secular things, yet the person found time to play an instrument for the Lord. I've heard somebody say that the reason they joined the choir was because somebody had joined the choir despite their limitations, despite all that they had to do. That was why they took on that responsibility in the church, because they saw someone else do it. It became an encouragement. It became exhortation to them. It became preaching to them because of the way these people conducted themselves. Praise the Lord. Service can be a powerful mode of expression of the love of Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. Service can be a very powerful thing. And you will agree with me as we go on. You will see the value of service, that it's so powerful that, look, a lot of people may not remember what you told them, but they will remember what you have done for them or remember what you have done to them. It's easy for them to forget your words, but they will not forget your act of kindness. Although the Bible says in the later days, people will be unthankful. Okay? But I want to tell you that the one that will stick out more is your act of kindness. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, 36 to 41. Acts 9, 36 to 41. Let's look at that story there. How your act of kindness can make a way for you also. 36 to 41. Does somebody want to read for us? There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping them out. She was always doing what? Kind things. Amen. Go on.
About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for the burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby and Peter, so they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. So Peter returned with them. As soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coat and other things that were for them. But Peter asked them to all leave the room. Let him help and pray. Turning the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers as he presented her to them alive.
Praise the Lord. I know the Bible says we should pray for our enemies. Right? Oh yes, the Bible says, Jesus said we should pray for our enemies. There are some people when they die, you are not likely to want to take the trouble to go to the next city to go and call the man of God to pray for them. Right? You may pray for them, but you may not take the trouble to travel to the next city to call the man of God to come and pray for them. In the case of Dorcas, she had impacted on people's life so much so that when she died, the people knew that there was a vacuum. There was a great vacuum that was going to be left in the body of Christ. The believers did what? Together, they knew where Peter was. They ran there to tell him to come. And so Peter came and prayed. You know? Now, some people will die. The other believers will not want to see them raised up. Because when they were alive, they were no use to anybody. Do you know you can be a believer and say you are a believer and you are no use to anyone? You truly mind your own business. You truly, in the sense of the word, mind your own business. You never, ever want to positively impact on the lives of people. You can't give. You don't care. You don't ask about their welfare. You don't want to see how people are progressing. You are not bothered about the well-being of people. When you die, nobody will miss you. It will just be another brother gone. I'm telling you. You know, deep down, inside, when somebody dies and people cry for various reasons. Anyway, I will leave it there. Praise the Lord. Because as we go down, we are going to see many more of these things. Why people will miss you. If you are a believer and you don't serve, and you are not at the service of others, and you think you are wise, you are always dodging, you have a way of wriggling out from helping people. I pray that from today, that will change in your life in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. Every great man, woman of God, has to pay a price. That was what we were talking about this morning. A great minister has paid a great price. If you want to be an ordinary minister till you die, you practice Christianity in an ordinary way. The people that are outstanding, everyone that was outstanding with Jesus, look at them. Not all the disciples who were with Jesus were outstanding. You agree with me? Some people were not with Jesus. They became outstanding. Somebody like Paul. But what did Paul say? He said every input that the apostles made, he made more. The ones who are with Jesus, he said every input they made, he made more input than them. In speaking in tongues, in doing this, in doing that, he said, Paul, he said, I surpass you in all of this thing. No wonder God gave him a big revelation. We need to surpass. We need, those of us who are here yesterday, we talked about diligently serving the Lord. You know, you can passively serve the Lord and you can actively serve him. God wants people who will actively serve him. And you'll be one of those people who will actively serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Serving is a language of love. To serve. To render service is a language of love. I know some of us have read the five love languages. The Bible recognizes that service is a language of love. You will see. Giving a part of oneself to serve others is widely recognized as a powerful language in the expression of love. The Good Samaritan demonstrated this, and Jesus directly encouraged us to utilize this approach by saying, go and do thou likewise. Let's open to Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. I want somebody to read quickly because we still have a lot of ground to cover. Luke 10. 30 to 37. Jesus used this as an illustration.
Jesus replied with this story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, the priest came along. But when he saw the man lying dead, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked him up and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wound with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same."
Praise the Lord. What did Jesus say? "Now go and do the same." He's speaking to you and I this morning that we should go out and do the same. I mean, you need to put things in context. You need to understand how the Jews saw the Samaritans in those days. They were people who were despised. They were people who were despised. Well, what Jesus is saying to us is this. It is not how wealthy you are, it's not how good looking you are, it does not matter who you may be. If you are not able to share a part of yourself, if you are not able to serve other people, if you are not able to practically show your love, you are not a good neighbor. He's saying that good neighborliness is demonstrated by practical ventures, actions. They say speaks louder than voice. That's what Jesus had just said. So it's a recognized love language. Serving is both an expression and an evidence of faith in God. So serving is a love language. Serving is an expression and an evidence of faith in God. Our faith in God will remain immature if it exists in words only. It should find expression in practical demonstration towards our fellow human beings through our service. Faith without works, that is service, is what? Is dead. Every Christian journey must be adequately resourced in terms of words and fruits of the words in the form of service. So the words we hear must bear fruit in our lives by way we serve. So service added to faith makes faith perfect. In other words, faith is not yet perfect if you find a way not to render service to people. Render service in the house of God. Render service wherever you find yourself. Go over and above the call of duty. You don't like inconvenience. You don't want, everything has to be within your, it has to be within your budget of time. It has to be convenient for you. You are not yet operating by faith. Faith involves giving a part of yourself, going beyond the call of duty. Can we quickly read the book of James, chapter 2? Is a very long one. James chapter 2 verse, maybe I should read this one very quickly. James 2, 14 to 26. Faith. Because some people will say, "Oh yes, it's not by coming to church." I know it's not by coming to church. Some people say it's not because you are in the choir. I know it's not by coming to choir. It's not because you preach. I know it's not by preaching. It's not because you give. It's not... Everything goes together. It does, no matter how pure your heart may be, if it's not demonstrated in service, your faith is imperfect. Your faith is what? Imperfect. Until it is shown in the form of service. What is the use, profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you says to him, "Goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed," without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, that is dead. But someone will say to you then, "You say you have faith and I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works if you can, and I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith." You believe that God is one. You do well. So do the demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as make a man's hair stand on end and contract the face of his skin. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless? Was not our forefather Abraham shown to be justified, made acceptable to God by his works, when he brought to the altar as an offering his own son Isaac? You see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and his faith was completed and reached its supreme expression when he implemented it by good works. And so the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God, and this was accounted to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will in thought and deed, and he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified, pronounced righteous before God through what he does, not alone through faith, through works of obedience as well as by what he believes. So also with Rahab the harlot. Was she not shown to be justified, pronounced righteous before God by good deeds, when she took in scouts, spies, and sent them away by a different route? For as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from its works of obedience is also dead. So action has to go with our confession of faith. I will leave it there. Serving is practically following the example of Jesus. When we serve, what are we doing? We are practically doing what? Following the example of Jesus. If you do not serve, you literally have no part in the ministry that Jesus established. Did you hear that? If you do not serve, you literally have no part in the ministry that Jesus has established. It is not mere service, but service born out of humility and love, like the Savior himself. Let's quickly look at John chapter 13, verse 3 to 9. Yes, it takes humility to serve others. Because those without the true knowledge of the word of God may misuse you. We'll get to that. But quickly look at John chapter 13, verse 3 to 9. John 13, 3 to 9. So what did Jesus do? He took water and began to do what? To wash the disciples' feet. That was the way they will welcome people and be hospitable to them. It will take the lesser to wash the feet of the greater. Jesus, who was called Lord and Master, He pulled down his garment, his robe. He tied a towel. He started washing the feet of the disciples. Please go on. Okay. Please stop there. He said, Peter said, Lord, remember I called him Lord. Lord, you wash my feet? This will not be. And Peter said, look, and God, Jesus said, what I'm about to do, you don't know. Please go on. Praise the Lord. As soon as Peter said, Lord, you wash my feet, you will not wash my feet. What did Jesus say to him? He said, look, if I don't serve you, you have no part in this ministry. You have no part. And Peter said, Lord, what did you say? Not just my feet, oh, wash my head also, wash my hands. So everyone who will have a part in the ministry that Jesus has established must serve. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, you will have no part in it. It's like saying, I'm the pastor, and you say, I cannot pray for you. You have no part in this church. You must serve. We have to. It is not what? It's not optional. We have to serve. He says, you have no part in me. And Peter said, please, not just my feet, but my head, my everything about me, please, immerse me, wash me. Do you know why Jesus did it? It's to show an example that you are going to go and do the same thing to people. Everyone that will be drawn to the ministry of Jesus has to be served by the greater. Praise the Lord. I've told us yesterday, the promotion of God is from where to where? It's from down to up, not up to, you know. When you lift up yourself, God will not promote you. When you put yourself down, God will lift you up. That's what Jesus had demonstrated. It was all this that Jesus did. And when God lifted him up, and the Bible said God gave him a name that is above every name. That is why at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the major problems of service is this. Because when you begin to serve other people, it's like you are actually foolish. When you begin to serve in the church, it's like you don't know what you are doing. When you begin to serve where you work, when somebody wants to make a cup of coffee, you say, please, let me make it for you. Let me do this for you. Let me do that for you. People will begin to wonder. They just think you don't know what you're doing. You must, I tell my wife, I said, look, the witness inside, the Bible says, he said, for the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Look, the Spirit of God has to witness with your spirit and say you are a child of God, that what you are doing is right. It is not the multitude telling you whether what you are doing is right or wrong. It's not what people say. It's not how many people are complaining about you. It is the Spirit of God witnessing that you know that in truth. Look, I'm not talking about deceit. Because if you are deceiving people, you are deceiving yourself. It is the Spirit of God witnessing in your spirit that indeed what you are doing it according to the Word of God. But I want to let you know that there will be people who are going to misuse your act of service. So don't be surprised that people will misuse it. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Luke 6, 27 and 28. So don't say that I didn't warn you that it's going to happen. It is going to happen. But that, how many times have I made up my mind that when people come, that I will not even listen again, that I will not, if people call me to their matters, I won't even talk. Or if people say, look, come and help, I won't do this. Yet, when people call me, I will. I still help. I do it. Whether they've left the church or whatever, they still call me, I will render help. They know they called me, that I will help them. Because it's an act of service. That is the ministry it's called us into. But people will misuse it. Luke 6. Okay. I'll quickly read. Maybe I should start from verse 6. Verse 26. It says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. So whether you like it or not, there will be people who will hate you. Praise the Lord. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully what? So there are users out there. They think they are smarter than everyone else. They will use you. People will use you. They know what they earn. You think everyone who comes to church comes to church because they believe Jesus is Lord? Some people believe that the connection is in the church. Some people believe that when you are struggling, when you come to church, help is in the church. You give them help. Hopefully, God will minister to them. Some people know that when they are lonely, the place to go is church. Some people know that when you are looking for a good wife, the place to go to is church. Some people know that when you are looking for a good husband, the place to go to is the church. So not everyone who comes to church believes that Jesus is Lord per se. But they just know that these people from church, they behave properly. So they come. They know they will take care of them. So take care of them. Serve them. Because it's already been written that some people will despitefully do what? Use you. Service as an act of evangelism. It is a recipe for greatness in the kingdom of God, though. Service. Who do you serve in rendering service to others? Who do you think you are serving? The answer is obviously God. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. Whatever you do to the least of these people in the kingdom, he said, you have done to me. And on that day, when you get to the kingdom of God, and God will say, thank you for giving me water to drink. And he said, Lord, when did I give you water? He said, do you remember that smelly man who came to your house that you gave water to? That man that was really struggling, that you extended a hand of fellowship to. They say, why? And I want to tell you, by the grace of God, I want everything I say to you here, I practically demonstrate it to the glory of God. Practically. It may be painful when we are going through it, but we'll still go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord. He is therefore the one to reward you because it is the work component of your faith. Hebrews 11:6. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That was what we looked at yesterday. And we look at the word diligence. We had more than 20 words that will appropriate the word diligence. Diligence. Do we want to quickly go through what are those words? So that each time you read your Bible, you substitute the word diligent with those words. So diligence, quickly go through. Wholeheartedly serve him. Yes. Laboriously serve him. Industriously serve him. Fervently serve him. Persistently serve him. Studiously serve him. Yes. Efficiently serve him. Mm-hmm. tirelessly serve him. Just change the world with all this word and put yourself in that position. Am I tirelessly serving him? Am I studiously serving him? I asked the workers yesterday some of the things that they need to get. We have to read studiously. We have to read. We have to study the Bible. Not just the Bible. The Bible is the primary thing. We have to study. You need, as a child of God, you need commentary. You need to get one or two commentaries. You need Strong's. You need all these, you know, the books. You need Dakes. You need to get yourself a copy of Dakes. You need Thompson's. Go and get them. Studiously. I have my library. If you want to borrow, I can't give you for long, but come. You have to read. When you come to my bedroom, you will see my books. They are around there. Because when I'm waking up from sleep, I will pick something and I'll be reading. Ask my wife. I will pick something and I will read. This morning I've read before coming. I will pick something. It may be 4 o'clock. When I wake up, I will just take something and I'm reading. As I read psychiatry, I read the Bible. Okay. Praise the Lord. That is it. Studiously. That's part of your diligence. Diligence in everything, in commitment, in strength, in everything. Praise the Lord. That's service. That's the way it's going to be acceptable. It's not just ordinary service that will be acceptable to the Lord. It's diligent service. What manner of service is acceptable to God? Okay, I've overshot the time. Because today is Mother's Day. It's the day of the moms. Apology to the moms. Let me just quickly say one or two things and we'll close this Sunday school. Service unto God must be done in love, cheerfully, and in holiness. It must not be rendered to vaunt self or as a result of envy, but to glorify God. Other conditions for acceptable service include being single-minded, diligent, not being weary, patient, selfless, and a newness of heart. A different mental set from the world. You find out that our own service is different from the way the world renders service. Do you know that some people are actually particularly gifted for serving? I know some people will fall sick if you ask them not to serve. My wife should have been the one to teach this Sunday school. It's because it's Mother's Day that I decided to teach it. If you ask her not to serve, she will fall sick. No, I'm telling you. When I told people in the Sunday school, in the house fellowship, that we have an elderly woman, she goes there faithfully to go and help her iron her clothes and everything. You have to render service to somebody. I've asked her to incorporate me into it now so that I will help her to iron too. No, do something for somebody. Not to expect reward. It is an office that makes the body of Christ complete. Without it, go, please, in particular, go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 28. Some people are specially gifted in this area over and above what you see in others. The women in particular have nurtured ministries to maturity and growth through their acts of service. Women, mothers, you are gifted in that area. The ministry of Jesus was not complete without Martha and Mary. Paul, the apostles, and others, they needed people like Lydia. They needed all the women there. You can make this church great through the glory of God. You women, you mothers, praise the Lord. You can raise evangelists. You can raise pastors. And I'm telling you, it is what you do at home that will change the life of these children. You are pivotal to it. You are pivotal to the outcome of the life of your children. A lot of times, the men are very slow to take on things. Urge them that there will be money devotion. A lot of the times, it's my wife who will say, okay, money devotion, money devotion. And I'm rushing, I want to go to work. Say, we have not had money devotion, let's go down. Women, you have a part to play. Because that is a ministry that God has naturally given to you. How do I know? Because raising children for the perpetuation of humanity is an act of service in itself. It can be developed and nurtured like all gifts of God given to individuals. thank God for our mothers. The Lord will continue to strengthen you. I said the Lord will continue to strengthen you. Every service you render in the life of your children, the Lord will cause you to see the reward in Jesus' name. You know, some people, when they eventually they want to die, do you know they die smiling and laughing? When they look at the way their life has been, they are happy. They know. David, when he was passing on, what did he do? He called his son, he spoke to him, and he gave him advice. He knew it was time to move on. But when he looked back, he knew what he has done, that he's done well in life. Paul, what did he say? I've finished my course and I've finished my race. You know, and I know that the crown of glory is set before me, is laid for me. You can look back at the way you have conducted your life and enjoy and smiling. When people are crying, do you know why people will be crying after looking at this? It's because of the service you've rendered. You've been so good to some people. You've been like mom, even though you never met them before. You know, you've been their sister, you've been their brother, you've been this. That's why they are crying. They know that you are on the other side of the phone, that when they are in trouble, they can call you. And now that you are passed away, they have no one to call. That's why they are crying. But you are smiling because you know that the crown is laid for you. Service is a powerful way to express love. It's a powerful tool for evangelism. Praise the Lord. Can we pray, please? Can we rise up and pray?